why some person test positive, one test negative.
Amen. As we were worshiping the giver of life and giver of breath, just coming back to my mind. And this is something I want to share, that the Lord gave me a wonderful nugget this morning, and I want to record it and share with everybody. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We've been studying about the Holy Spirit in the, you know, over the past weeks, and in the future weeks we're going to be continuing in about the Holy Spirit. But in verse 9, this is Jesus speaking. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. He said, "I say unto you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." Amen. Mm-hmm. Continuing on. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? So if you, being evil," being earthly, being non-religious, you know, Jesus is talking to the average person, because we're not God. "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" How much more? So it's like saying, I have this perfect gift, come on and ask. I have this gift, ask for it, because I'm waiting to give it. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, out of Acts 1:4, I believe, he was the promise of the Spirit. And the study that we're going to do deals with, in the future weeks, deals with the activities of the Holy Spirit. But there's something that the Lord brought to my mind this morning. And in fact, Karen and I, we were in mid-conversation. I go, oh, I got to record this. So I began to record the thoughts, because I didn't want to lose the thoughts that the Lord was given to me. And so I'm going to try and share those thoughts, because it was really a super blessing to me. So go ahead and open your Bibles up to John 16. John 16 and verse 7. John 16, 7. Jesus is speaking, and we shared this scripture before. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." He says, I'm saying this truth to you, this reality. It's important, expedient, that Jesus said. Profitable is the word for expedient. "That I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And so now, so we talked about the Holy Spirit and how that it was important to God. Ask for him, and he's the promise of the Spirit. And so, and I'll give him to you. And so God had the Holy Spirit just waiting in the chambers, waiting to come. Jesus said, I have to go away so that he can come. If I don't go, he can't come. So both the Father, the Son, said it's important for him to come. And so, you know, we talked last week about he's the agent of the new birth. You know, when you're born again, it's the Holy Spirit, born of the Spirit. And then, did we talk about being sealed last week? No? We talked about the new birth?
The wind,
okay. So we talked about the new birth. Next week is going to be how you're sealed. But there's so many things that the Holy Spirit did. And then the Lord just sort of did a flip side and helped me to see why another aspect from his point of view, the spiritual point of view, of why it was so important for the Holy Spirit to come. Jesus said, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And I noticed something that in the Old Testament, the word Satan is mentioned in four different books of the Bible. Only four. It's Job, 1 Chronicles, Job, Zechariah, and in Psalms. The only places that Satan is mentioned. But in the New Testament, it's all over, right? Now, think about this. In the Old Testament, you don't hear about spirits, demonic spirits crying out and, you know, demon-possessed people doing this or that. You don't hear about that. But Jesus comes on the scene, and what happened? Everywhere he went, the demons were screeching, and even in one gospel, he went to the synagogue, and there was a demon-possessed man in their church, in their synagogue. What are we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? And he goes, shut up. Hold your peace. What are you doing in here in church? You know? But what happened? Why the difference? Jesus come on the scene. He's the Son of God. Until the time of Jesus, think about it, there was no absolute power over the spirit realm. There were exorcists. The Jews practiced exorcism. But that's exorcising. You know, basically you sort of wear them out till they go. It's exorcising. But there was no authoritative power that commanded them until Jesus came. And the thing about it, the spiritual realm, the demonic forces in Satan, they all recognized that he was the authority. And he had the authority to deal with them. And we see that throughout the scriptures. One demon-possessed man came and says, have you come to deal with us before our time? And he says, what's your name? Legion, yes. There were thousands of demonic entities in this man. So Jesus came, and you can say that the spiritual realm that was in control, they woke up. Whoa, we got a new kid on the block. No, a new person is here. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. So basically, when Jesus came, the light shone on everything. Not only in the physical realm, pointing out men's sins and these things, but in the spirit realm, the light came. And the demonic forces were like cockroaches. And if you've ever been in a room that's infested with cockroaches, I have. I used to live in one in Texas. You turn on the light in the morning and they go, they scatter. It's just crazy. And it's sort of a joke. It was funny what we do in the morning. But anyway, here's the point. I want to make it short. And is that God understood the realm of the spirit. Jesus was a master over the realm of the spirit. The Bible says that Jesus was filled with the spirit. When he was baptized, he was filled. And the Bible says that he was filled without measure. There was no end to the authority and to the power that he manifested. And so Jesus said, now, that same spirit that's in me here, he said, is going to be in you. He says, in verse 7, if I depart, I will send him to you. And last week, there was a scripture, I think it's John 14. In John 14, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit that he will abide in you, somewhere in John 14. Let me see. John 14. Okay, John 14, 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and now, and he shall be in you. So, but here's the thing, is that when Jesus died, he went down and he took the keys of death and of hell over the power of the enemy. He conquered death. He conquered, the Bible tells us that, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, or render them null and void. Okay? So, Jesus dies. In Acts, we see his final commands in Acts chapter 1. Because it's all about so many things going on. You know, God in his wisdom, he has all this planned out. So now, it's time for my final departure, Acts chapter 1. And he said, now, verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard this from me. And Jesus went on to say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and not many days hence, or not too many days from now. So wait. So everything is culminating for us, because while Jesus was here, he was the authority. And he gave the disciples authority, and they cast out demons, you know, and they healed, and they did the miracles. But he was leaving. So he says, I gotta go, because see, the Holy Spirit is the embodiment of Christ. So now he can dwell in you like he dwells in me. And he'll dwell in you. And so so God in his wisdom, seeing that I don't want to leave them as orphans. So I gotta send another comforter, that is another guide, another teacher, somebody to stand alongside of them. And to help them navigate in the realm of the Spirit. More than just the natural. Who was it that tempted Jesus when he had been fasting? Satan. It was Satan. He's in the spirit realm. It wasn't just any ordinary person that came to Jesus and said, well, Jesus, if you're the Son of God. No, it was somebody from the realm of the dark spirit world. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is not your realm of battle, of struggle. It's the realm of the Spirit. Not in the natural. It's in the Spirit. Against wickedness and high places and rulers and darkness and, you know, and principalities and powers. So God in his wisdom understood we have to have the Holy Spirit, somebody that is spiritual, that can guide you in the spiritual realm. So he sent to us the Holy Spirit, who understands the workings of the enemy. God, the Holy Spirit. Who better to help us discern and to understand what we have to do but the Holy Spirit. So God has given us If you look in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to be close to being done with this because this is just some great food for thought. But Ephesians chapter 6, we've taught on this and about the armor of God. It says in verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor of God is, do we all in our closets or in our rooms, do we have coats of armor to put on?
Armor against the cold?
Coats.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like armor against the cold.
Oh, cold.
But
we don't have armor. You don't have a breastplate in your closet.
And a helmet.
And a helmet of salvation. And, you know, and loins about your
shield.
You know, and the shield. We don't have, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual armor that is given to us by the Spirit, Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual realm that all of this is about. God says, you know, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, comfortless, but I'm going to send somebody that's going to take over and guide you into all truth. It's going to help you to remember everything that I've said, because he won't speak of himself, he'll speak of me. That is the value of the Holy Spirit right now at this point in time. And I wish I could do a video, because I was getting a vision of if this room was totally black and we set these chairs up as a maze, it'd be impossible to, if you couldn't see, to navigate. But David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a guide into my path. And so as if we were in this dark, lightless room and we had this lamp and that represented the word of God, we could see and navigate through because of the word. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, what did he do? He quoted the word. He quoted the same word that David had, because that was written before David's time. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. And Jesus lived by it. The master of the universe, Jesus, name above all names, lived and operated by that word. Your lamp, your word is a lamp. How much more do we, as you know, none of us have been begotten like we've been in heaven and we've come to earth like Jesus. We're at a slight disadvantage. So we need everything that God has to offer. Everything. If it's there, I want it. If it's there, I need it. If it's there, it's going to help me. So even so much more in these times, as we see the end of all things being fulfilled and the end of things appearing, and we know that Jesus coming is soon. And if Jesus is coming soon, and we know that the enemy is fighting harder. But since the time of Christ, he awoke, unveiled that spirit realm. Demons crying. Satan was unveiled. Even Satan was trying to incite to kill Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Jesus represented, and Satan knew what Jesus represented. And it says, Paul says, we speak a mystery. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. We speak a mystery of God. A mystery, even the hidden wisdom that God ordained before the world unto our glory. This mystery, in verse 8, it says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, the princes of this world is being the satanic forces. Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. Had they known it, the mystery that God had hid, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they knew that in Jesus dying, they would be doomed, they would make sure he never died. Don't even let this guy catch a cold. Don't let him stumble. Don't let him fall. Don't let him do anything. Keep him alive. But they didn't know. Just the opposite. At every turn, they were trying to kill Jesus because it was a mystery that he came, shed light, and they go, oh, we got to snuff this light out because we want to stay in control. So God in his wisdom gave us the Holy Spirit. He woke up that realm. Hallelujah. You have won the victory and you've done it all for me, for you, for I, so that we can be successful in this world, in this walk, in this life, for God's kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for just your wisdom that you give to us. And Lord, that you are complete and you give us complete understanding. And we thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we can have in the Spirit, and we can commune with you and you with us, Lord. We give you thanks. Thank you for sending to us the Holy Spirit, for having him work in our lives. Holy Spirit, we appreciate you and we need you. Continue your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.